Before we did Team America, they said they hated actors. After Team America, they said actors aren't so bad. We just hate effing puppets.
It's time for The Profitability Show. Inspiring conversations with successful business leaders, artists, and entrepreneurs that will get your blood pumping and your creative juices flowing. We'll focus on the latest and the greatest tools, techniques, strategies, and advice you can apply right now to achieve more success and improve your bottom line, no matter what business you're in. The Profitability Show, the business podcast that brings you less jargon and more margin. With your host, digital product strategist and innovator, Nick Knight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Profitability Show, where we reveal what's working for others, whatever their business may be, so that we can apply the ideas to our own business and share in the success. Today, my special guest is Scott Land of Teamland Productions. Scott is perhaps the foremost puppeteer working today. You've seen his incredible work on film and television, including nearly every scene of Paramount Pictures' Team America World Police, written by South Park writers Trey Parker and Matt Stone. He has performed some 10,000 shows worldwide at theaters, convention centers, theme parks, corporate events, and even on cruise lines. Scott has also entertained at more celebrity private parties than any other puppeteer and often incorporates an original marionette sculpted in the celebrity's image. Now, if you're wondering, what business ideas can I learn from a puppeteer? You may be surprised to discover that not only is Scott a skilled performer and craftsman, he is also very savvy when it comes to marketing and investing and has created a very successful and profitable company from what most people would easily consider a very difficult medium. If he can crush it with marionettes, there's no excuse for the rest of us. For this episode, I caught up with Scott live at the annual Monsterpalooza event where he was a featured guest and exhibitor. So I hope you enjoy meeting the man with the world on a string, Scott Land. We are live at Monsterpalooza, a celebration of movie magic and special effects wizards, the artists that create the zombies, demons, and werewolves we've all grown to love. One of those wizards is my very special guest today, and if you've ever seen the movie Team America World Police, you'll know that his creations actually come to life without any camera tricks. I'm very excited to welcome to the show the puppet man himself, Scott Land. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. Hey, thank you so much for doing the show. I'm really excited to talk to you today. So here on the Profitability Show, we like to talk to interesting business people, particularly ones with interesting jobs like yours, and find out kind of what it's like to be in that business, how it works, what makes it tick. So let's just start with your story. I mean, you're a marionette artist, although you're a lot of things. You're an artist, you're a sculptor. I would assume there's some costume design that goes into this. There's writing, you're a performer on stage. So it's a lot of things. People say marionette arts, I think it sells it short.
Right.
But my question for you is, how did that start? Like, what got you started in the business?
I saw Bob Baker perform at a fair when I was 10 years old, and he inspired me, and I was amazed at what he was able to accomplish with marionettes. I never thought of puppetry as that sophisticated, but what he did in a live show was so amazing that I then checked out library books. It started from there and started with paper mache and not very sophisticated, very simple marionettes. And then I started doing kids' parties and did my first professional paid show when I was 12 years old. And what I discovered is there was very little competition. And after every show, people would all take your business card and the business would keep building just from the love of performance. So the business model was very basic. Go out and do a show that you love performing, move the audience, they take your card, and then you replicate it again. And so every year the business would essentially double without any promotion. Well, that was my career all the way through college. I went to UCLA and did the puppet business, and every job I would do lots of celebrity events in Los Angeles, a lot of celebrity parties. And then I worked for Bob Baker, learned a lot from him. I learned not so much about design or building, but mostly not to own a theater. Because if you own the theater, then you have to maintain it and you have to manage it. Now, if you want to be a property owner, it's a whole other business design. But me as an artist, I liked performing and keeping things lean. And I was doing a lot of television commercials at the time as an actor on camera. And then we were doing a lot of puppet effects in film and television. Well, I did that for 32 years. So every day I would audition and perform as an actor in a lot of national commercials and did a very good living, which built up for me as a SAG member, my pension. I also gave you my health insurance. So I was covered that way for 32 years. And then finally, everything disappeared when the Screen Actors Guild was forced into a strike. But the entire time while I was doing that business, I noticed that I could make a living, a very strong living, performing the marionettes on weekends. So I always was booked every weekend doing lots of these shows. And again, the business model was doubling every year. So I had more work than I could handle. And I had more work than I could handle as a puppeteer slash actor doing television commercials. So I had plenty of cash. So my first investment was to buy a house. So at the age of 23, I bought a house for cash, sold that. Then I went and bought my next house, and then I mortgaged the second house. And that was in a place called La Cañada. Incredible place to live with the premise of having kids. The downturn was essentially I got divorced. So we had to then separate and split up that profit. But after I was able to get in and out of that, I then buy old houses and then restore them because I have all the skills from building the marionettes and the puppets on how to do basic home improvement.
Wow.
So I'd buy these fixer-uppers and did that. So the entire time living in Los Angeles, I went through three properties. And then I finally said, I don't want to be stuck in traffic anymore. And I would like to have a simpler life. So we moved to Las Vegas, downsized everything. I have a rental property that we rent out, so that became our cash flow that would pay for any expenses, and I was always doing my shows. So the premise now is to continue keeping doing shows, performing the marionettes live stage shows that people have never seen, then do film and television, and it's a niche that I have by doing marionettes. Very few people in the world do it. And then the entire time still keep the rental property as the cash flow. And then once we get to the age of 60, then the retirement kicks in with pension through Screen Actors Guild and the health insurance.
Well, that's fantastic. So you basically subsidized your expenses with real estate investment, yeah, which is brilliant. So here's the part that's missing for me. You wanted to be a marionette artist. That was your passion when you were young. How did you go from that to being what I have to say is a master sculptor, caricaturist, performer, like all those things? That doesn't just come with the desire. You have to learn that. How did that happen?
Yeah. Essentially, while I was in high school, were going to sporting events and doing the things that they all do socially, I was home. And I was building and crafting and designing the puppets and rehearsing in front of a mirror, much like a magician. And I would rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. And it's just like a musician. It takes years of study. And then I got in once I was in college with an improvisational group and worked as an improv actor so I could understand not pre-planning and allowing whatever's going to happen in the moment to be the support. That doesn't bother me. Less information, the more I can make up in the moment. But the entire time, because as a puppeteer, you're designed pretty much as a Renaissance design to do everything yourself. And nobody could judge you because the point is what's their reference? There aren't that very many marionette companies. So it's not like a musician who has to be perfect on stage. I'm making it up and designing it in the moment, and my skills get better and better. So the other thing that I discovered is if there's something that I cannot handle as a skill, and as an example, building costumes, I'm okay, but I'm not brilliant, so we hire that out. So I would diversify and allow other people to handle that skill and pay them what they needed to be paid, so I'd have a professional result. And once a marionette is designed or created, it'll last a lifetime if you take care of it. So it's basically building all these incredible characters over a lifetime that then perform better and better within time because my technique gets better, so the brand gets stronger. And then isolating myself in a mirror, watching the performance and rehearsing that the technique gets better, much like a close-up magician.
Wow, that is really interesting. Well, I want to ask you some questions about Teamland Productions. I want to talk to you about how you monetize your business and a couple other things. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second with Scott Land of Team America World Police and Teamland Productions.
Are you looking to learn business strategies from some of the top experts in the world? Or are you looking to earn income as a leading expert yourself? At Revisit, we empower leaders, innovators, and experts to create online learning products that get better over time. Interactive learning products on Revisit remain live connected to the creators, who can add or update the content instantly, offer direct access and feedback, exclusive communities, and even special discounts and offers. Our unique app-based solution means the products you buy or create will remain exclusive and valuable in the hands of paying customers only. So, start learning or start earning at revizit.com. That's R-E-V-I-Z-Z-I-T.com.
And now, back to the Profitability Show.
And we're back here with Scott Land of Team Land Productions at Monsterpalooza. So if you hear some stuff in the background, any growling or gnashing of teeth, it's because this place is crawling with zombies and stuff. We were talking just a moment about some of the stuff that you did to get started as a marionette artist. You mentioned you had trouble with a divorce at one point. You had to kind of downsize and do some stuff. But was there ever like a problem with the business itself? Was there ever a difficulty where you said, maybe this marionette thing is going to have to be passed on and I'm going to have to do something else, get a real job?
Yeah. While I was in college, because it was I went to UCLA and I was able to pay for the schooling by doing the marionettes, but I would always be working and then auditioning and doing the commercials. For some reason, I was the flavor of the month as an actor for about 23 years. So I was able to build up an incredible nest egg. And I've always lived below my means. It wasn't until the divorce. Then after the divorce, losing my parents, and then at a show, I got attacked by a mother with an ice cream cone, which is a long story, but she...
Oh, we have to hear that story
at some point. Yeah, yeah. And then I went to Tibet, and the long story short is that this was a thing that I worked with the Dalai Lama. I became friends with the Dalai Lama, and I was his opening act with a marionette that I had created of the Dalai Lama. And so I went to Tibet, and the driver drove us off a cliff by accident. And I barely survived. My left arm was ripped out of the socket and broken at the ball joint. So when I came back to the States, I was out of work for a year and a half.
Wow, this is unbelievable.
And it emotionally wiped me out, but I also didn't know if I was going to ever have my left arm to move again because the movement had stopped. So I went through therapy for a year and a half, and it finally came back. But
This is not something that a marionette artist wants to have happen, is to lose the mobility in one of his arms.
No, I was really inspired by that magician who didn't have his one arm.
You're talking about René Lavande.
Yeah, that's it. I had never seen him perform, but I saw his poster. And he was an older guy. And I said, well, if he survived that, I'll do the best that I can. But no, technically, losing one of your arms would really hurt the business quite dramatically. But what I found out is after you go through something like that, then nothing else bothers you. I had always had a very decent life because I'd work hard and I'd get results. So the business never bothered me and I always had money because I was working a lot and I was a unique skill or talent. But I'd never had something that blindsided me until the divorce and then my parents dying and then the final was the near-death experience. So I was wiped out. And after going through that, now I empathize with people. I also went through my life savings. So after that, I said, all right, now my house is clear. I have to reorganize and then figure out what I'm going to do to survive. So after getting through the year and then restructuring myself, I said, we're going to downsize everything. I'm going to get rid of all the big houses and keep things simple. So I simplified everything.
Well, this is great because there's definitely some lessons to be learned here. So you didn't abandon your cause. You didn't abandon your passion. You said, you know what? I'm still going to do this. This is what I love. And come hell or high water, I'm going to, you know, if I have to just go back to living at the barest of means, I'm going to continue doing what I love to do. And I think that's really a great message.
Yeah, it was the simplicity of life. And I was enlightened by the Dalai Lama. And it basically showed me that we don't need all these extra things in our lives unless they're important to you. And most of it wasn't important. I had experienced it. So we just downsized to a 2-bedroom condo. Again, free and clear. I bought it when the market was at the tank in Las Vegas. So I got a pennies on the dollar and my escrow took 45 minutes. So it was like, here's the cash. It's done. Here's the keys. And that was it. And I just said, let's keep it simple. Continuing. When we started developing Team Land Productions, it's when the internet was taken off and I found out that we could promote and let people know about the craft and the art through social media and through Facebook. And so because of that media, which again, we generally get for free, we don't pay for sponsored ads, we promote ourselves by showing people the work that we do around the world. People engage with what I do, like the art, like what I'm about, watch the videos, and then they'll hire me to do events around the world that I would have never had if it wasn't for the social media through the internet.
So you're hearing that the power of content, so because a lot of our listeners
are looking at social media as how do I use this to benefit my business? And a lot of them are looking at paid solutions, which I'm all in favor of. I use paid solutions all the time. But if you can create content that's so compelling that people will share it, talk about it, post it for you, and share it with their networks, obviously it can actually turn into revenue.
Absolutely. Whatever anybody else is doing, I do the opposite. So as the world continued forward creating digital content, I said I'll keep everything analog. And then you can spice it up with a little touch of digital. But the reason why Team America was such a strange and bizarre film and such a hit is because Matt and Trey didn't know what they were getting into. And when they chose using marionettes as the form, they picked the most difficult type of puppetry to use. But again, it made them unique. And then they also discovered by using me, I worked improvisationally, that we would do most of the takes first time out as an improv without any pre-planning. We knew the concept. But in the moment, it would happen, and Trey would be doing the voice and controlling the mouth, and then I'd be moving the marionette dramatically. So as an example, I was doing all of Kim Jong-il, and I'd have the puppet working and walking out on the stage and start to shake him. And he would look through the monitor, Trey would, and he would see it, and he'd start to say, Ike Baldwin, and I would respond to it. And then the moment would happen, and he would say, let's shoot. And that's where the magic happened, the first take.
Nice.
Then everything else, you would do a take after take after take. But the first take generally is when he would catch it. Completely opposite of what we're trained in puppetry for film. Rehearse, 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 lock it in, and then it loses something. But the spontaneity in the first take is magic, true magic. And so organically, I connected with Trey, and then they had this film that was like amazing, and they said they would never do it again. Because they'd done that experience, and it was so difficult. They lost their entire summer. The deal was they went from South Park immediately right into Team America. It went long in the shoot, did the red carpet for the opening, and then went right back into South Park. So before we did Team America, they said they hated actors. After Team America, they said actors aren't so bad. We just hate effing puppets.
That's fantastic. Well, there is some magic in the one take approach, which is what we're doing right here on the Profitability Show. So you mentioned Team Land Productions. So what comprises Team Land? Do you have a group of artists now that work with you, or writers, or who is Team Land?
I always emulate and believe that the people in the past will give you most of the answers. So I loved Walt Disney. I loved everything about Walt Disney as a kid growing up, and I also discovered Walt Disney was an amazing producer, businessman, designer, thinker, and maybe not the perfect artist. And then he got along with him a great cartoonist named Ub Iwerks. So their team together created Walt Disney Productions. And I said, why am I trying to do all the work myself when I can hire people that are waiting and chomping at the bit that do work better than me? So if I can't sculpt, I hire some of the best sculptors in Hollywood to come in and work with us. At this point, all of the costumes I have is a world-class costume designer, does film and television. That's all she does. So she does all of those great, amazing designs. I put all the pieces together. I write the scripts. And then I give it to other designers that are great editors and let them edit the sound, edit the video. So I get out of their way. So by putting the umbrella of Team Land Productions, it allows the audience to know it's not just one person. It's a group. It's a team. And I also always believe that you should give them kudos for what they've done with the project, because it helps them support them in the future as well. Also with social media, so that they can tell their friends, yeah, I was the guy that designed this. And then it helps build their brand. So I'm never taking or stealing, I'm always sharing.
So I think that's really brilliant. You know, giving people proper credit and stuff empowers them to go out and share what you're doing on social media and through their networks as well. And, you know, it's much like we do here on a podcast. You know, it's like, I want to find really interesting people. But my hope is that they'll like the show well enough to tell people, hey, go check out my episode of that show, and that helps grow my brand as well. So I think that's a really brilliant move.
Absolutely. The cronyism doesn't exist anymore. People think that you can still do the old man's club and try to keep it amongst the group. Truly, because of the internet and because people being able to spread information quickly, people see honesty, and they also have these meters out, you know, bullshit meters, basically, that instantly can tell when something's legitimate or not. And the way I was raised by my parents is always be honest and promote, help other people. And then it comes back in many folds. So that was always our business design, just from my parents conditioning me as a kid to always be truthful and honest. And then The other thing is we discovered that everyone has a different perspective. Be empathetic and understanding to their perspective. Don't think that you have it all figured out. Because you can be blindsided in a moment's notice and you don't see it coming. And now you have to have support from your group, your community, fellow workers to get through it. Whether that's financially or emotionally, we're all just trying to get through this. So the idea is to just be a human being and support.
That's fantastic. Well, those great advice for everybody listening. You know, you want to give back because it comes back. And, you know, and not for that reason particularly. Giving back just feels good. You know, it makes people feel like they contributed to the right cause by joining up with you. You know, it makes them proud of you, makes them proud of themselves. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for everyone. And the other thing is when I was starting out, all the masters, the puppeteers, were very hidden with secrets and wouldn't give up any information. So I had to develop my own design and technique. And then I discovered as I've gotten older, there aren't people underneath me. So I said, why don't I share that? I don't ask them to take it from me for free, but also I ask them to give a small amount of money, and that's why we have the school. It's a small tuition, but it also gains the respect. All the years that I've dedicated to develop this didn't just happen. So by them buying the ticket or buying the video or being part of the group, they're giving me respect monetarily, and then I can give them every piece of information so it continues forward. So that's the other thing is it's part of the business design, is to ask them to pay, not a lot, a little, to give it up. Because the other thing is young people today think because of the internet, they can take. Everything's given to them. Whether it's real or honest, they just think it's theirs for the taking. They have to be part of the group, this group where we respect each other. And if you meet a master and he says, absolutely, but it's going to cost you a small amount or whatever they agree, you should give it to him. And so that's how I work the business design as well.
Yep. That's fantastic. Well, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to be back. We're going to find out what Scott Land's profit abilities are. Master puppeteer, what could it possibly be? I'm excited to find out. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, everyone. Nick Knight here. I hope you're enjoying the Profitability Show. I'm having a blast talking business with these amazing guests. Now, as you know, every business needs a profitability, and this show is no exception. Because the profitability that I need is your ratings, your reviews, and your subscriptions. So if you can, pull out your phone, go to iTunes right now or in your podcast app and select the Profitability Show, give it a rating, give it a review, and subscribe to the show. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do that, and I will return the favor with more great shows.
And we're back at Monsterpalooza with master puppeteer Scott Land. You know him well from Team America World Police. If you saw the movie, you know he is the puppeteer of puppeteers. And we're going to talk to him now a little bit more about his business. And we'd like to find out, so Scott, tell us, how does somebody make a living as a puppeteer and an artist? Because we don't know. What's your revenue stream? How does that work?
Yeah, from the very beginning, I found amazingly that you can do extremely well just doing kids' birthday parties. So you go, okay, how many can you do in a weekend, a day, whatever? And my setup was designed so that the stage would literally roll in, set up the stage, perform a 40-minute show, and pack up all within an hour. So early in my career, I was doing about seven shows a day.
Wow.
In different locations. Now, then I said, I don't want to personally do every one of the shows, so I started essentially franchising and training other puppeteers to use my marionettes.
Ah.
So they would have the unit, and they would go out, and we would book. And that was great for a long time. And then sadly, a lot of my puppeteers that worked for me died. Older people.
Ah.
They were basically actors and performers that I could trust. And that's the key. I have to trust them. They trust me so they're not doing shows out the back door. And I would make it real simple. They get half of every show. So they don't have to do anything. They just keep their weekends open and we'd book them. So we did that for about 22 years, that design. Then I realized if I raise the price, keep raising the price until I drop off a certain amount, that's where I'll stay and still keep it as a one-man or two-person show, two different people going out. So I don't have, at one time I had nine puppeteers going out and performing. Now we have two. And then during the peak season, which are the holidays, We will raise the price dramatically, but again, it's corporate rather than private shows. We do lots of company parties, things like that. Then we started doing cruise ships. Cruise ships were great. Problem is, on a cruise ship, you do essentially one or two shows of the week, and the rest of the time you're hanging out, and you start to go crazy.
Which is fun, but not as profitable, maybe, as being doing multiple shows.
Yeah, it's only profitable in that you don't have to do much work. The problem is that everyone out in the real world think you're dead. So your career dies that way, and then you have to start all over after you get off the cruise ship. So I said, we'll do particular dates. Mostly come in during holidays when I have the time available and hit that market strong and get out. So I'll go in for literally 3 weeks and I'm done, a year. So it's like a vacation. It's all upside. Then we discovered that people want to collect these marionettes. Now, a marionette roughly goes, if it's an original design, goes anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
So it has to be a collector that really wants it. And a lot of celebrities like what we do, and so they want to have a character. But they usually connect with me after I've worked with them. So they'll see me on a commercial shoot or a film shoot. And in the case that we had recently was Dick Van Dyke. I did a film with him for PBS, and I had made a marionette that would tap dance with him, a penguin, basically. Anyways, Dick Van Dyke became a big fan, and then his wife said, Dick has everything. What, do you do commission pieces? And I said, absolutely. He said, I would love to commission you. So we made Bert for Mary Poppins and presented it to Dick for his 90th birthday. And then after the reaction, he was as if it was a young kid on his Christmas day opening the present. He was wild. And then I became his opening act, and I worked with Dick on six different shows.
That is really cool. I mean, how old was Dick when you were working with him?
When I first started working with him, he was 88. And then at his 90th birthday then, which was, I think it's December 14th. I think December 14th. We celebrated Disneyland with Dick Van Dyke. And they had a private party. And we did a whole banquet hall in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. And it was really amazing. Anyways.
And he's still singing and dancing.
Yeah, he gets up and he dances and he moves. And he moves as if he's a 35-year-old. He wrote a book called Keep Moving. And it's true. And he was diagnosed with arthritis when he was 45 years old. They said he would be bedridden by the time he was 50 years old. He just kept going, and that was the point. And every day he goes to the gym and he stretches, and that, he is exactly what you would think Dick Van Dyke would be. So his wife said it was such a big hit. It's inside his house on the hanging by the mantle. And she said, would you do one of me? And she loves to belly dance. And Dick Van Dyke loves his wife as a belly dancer. So we just were commissioned to build a puppet of her. And so this was another way to make money and still keep building the brand and keep developing. And then when people see that footage online, then they say, well, how can I get a puppet for my businessman, executive, husband, or how can we have something in our office? And then I started doing their private shows for a corporate event. And then we would say at the end, we have one more surprise character. And that's when we would bring out the CEO as a marionette, perform it, get a big laugh.
It must kill them when the marionette of the CEO steps out on stage.
And I always tell them, get a cameraman shooting just him, because that's that one moment. And they are always like children. They always react exactly the same thing. They can't believe it. They start to cry. It's one of those. And then we give it to them as a gift. So it's been a commission piece, and then they put it in their house. And it's something that no one else in the world would ever have. So it makes them special.
It's genius. So I mean, that's amazing. So the revenue streams you've got live shows, you've got television, film, things. You've got building actual marionette puppets for people, and
yes.
So you've got your product line. I mean, that's really, really impressive. I mean, it looks like you've really figured out all the different ways that you can kind of tap in, including, which I like, and this was on one of our other episodes, talking to the Passing Zone, the jugglers, who also figured out that, you know, there's a bigger market out there in the corporate world of dealing with businesses and stuff, and they go out and they talk about teamwork and stuff, and you've figured out also how to take your unique interest and tap into that by creating likenesses of the CEO, and I'm sure that just must bring down the house. So really, that's fantastic.
Yeah, everyone will always appreciate you putting your heart into an art piece that represents what they're about. So I generally find out what they're into, whether it's a sport or something that makes the puppet interesting. So it's doing something physical. And then when we put it as the pose that's in their office, we will put the puppet in display in that pose, but it's also designed that they can pull the strings, so the eyes will blink, the mouth blink. So it's moving art. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we got to get wrapped up here, but I'm taking up your whole day, but I appreciate your time so much. I just want to ask you, part of the premise of the show is to find out from our vast network of business people and artists and entrepreneurs like yourself. What is that thing we call your profitability? What is the thing that you say, I, Scott Land, if I do more of this, it puts more dollars in the bank, your profitability? What would that be for you?
Yeah, each day that I wake up, I go into my studio and I work, and I can work anywhere. I usually get in by 8 o'clock, and I'll work till about 8 o'clock at night. And in the middle of the day, I take a nap. Because I'm able to take a nap for an hour, and I ride my bike to go have lunch and come back, I feel like I'm the wealthiest guy around. I have no boss. I get to handle my day any way I choose to, and usually I produce amazing work. At the financial situation is, whenever we make a sale, we always know it's going to be a profit. And we take half of that profit, and we put it immediately into no-load mutual funds. So it's doing its stock market thing without any thought. It just goes there. And the other half is building and growing the business. And that's my business design. So by the time I'm retired, I will probably have more money than I could ever spend. And then the plan is keep the school going, the Scott Land School of Puppetry and Character Arts. Keep it going, and then hopefully somebody will take that brand, buy it from us, and keep it expanding. Because I learned that design from the Stan Winston School. Once I became an instructor with the Stan Winston School, it was his son, Matt Winston, who said, now that everything's gone digital, all the effects business that my father created, we need to pass on to other generations. So I said, why can't I do the same thing with the puppets? So once I developed Teamland Productions and then the school from there, I said, this will keep expanding. And then finally, one day when I'm too old, the deal is to intend to pass it on to someone else with them hopefully buying it, and then we can all retire and live as a person on a cruise ship not having to do shows.
That's fantastic. Well, that's some great advice that everybody can use. That's and I'm going to just touch on again to recap two things. One is he works hard, but he rewards himself in the middle of the day, takes a nice nap, gets on his bike, rides out and gets some nice lunch. You know, give yourself a reward for working hard. And the other really brilliant thing, invest in your business, but make other investments. Don't put everything into one place. You put them in mutual funds. You might want to put them into real estate, some of those things. So when things are good, make sure you take a little bit and put it away for later on down the road. You never know when that's going to come in handy. That is brilliant advice. What's next for you, Scott? Where can we find out more about you? Where can we see you next? Tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
We're going to have our second class. We had our first a month ago. That was quite a success. We had 20 students signed up. We had 14 that were able to come to Las Vegas. So it's a three-day school. And we do everything in beautiful Las Vegas so people can experience Vegas at night. And during the day, we can show them what our belief is on puppetry. But the next one is September 22, 23, and 24. People can sign up right through our website, which is thepuppetman.com, and experience what we're talking about. It's not just puppetry. It's about what I consider a lifestyle. The average artist can survive in this world that's telling you you cannot survive as long as you live below your means and you're consistent, being honest, legitimate, and not trying to rip off other people. And then people love that brand and then they want to be part of it.
That's fantastic. And that's the same website we can also reach you if we want to have our CEOs or somebody represented in puppet form?
Yes, thepuppetman.com. And you can always send me an email at greatpuppetshow@gmail.com.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for being here. You're a wonderful guest, and I'm a big fan of your work. We're actually standing here with Barack Obama looking over our shoulder. Unbelievable stuff. And Donald Trump right behind me there, giving me raised eyebrows for some reason. Thanks again. This is The Profitability Show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Live from Monsterpalooza. Please forgive the background noise. This is a special event, but we're very happy to be here, and we're very happy to be with Scott Land of Team America World Police and Team Land Productions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to learn more profitabilities, go to profitabilityshow.com for episodes, show notes, and more. And be sure to click the subscribe button to get the latest episodes delivered straight to your favorite device.